See, that's the thing. I guess human nature, we kind of thrive to be with someone. Like, we're afraid of being alone on the bottom. And I guess, like, by being here as well, it's like you're part of a group at the same time. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, you fear being judged, like what I mentioned before, that like not feeling guilty because of the outside world. But at the same time, like by being here, there's a sense of belonging, but you can still kind of develop the understanding of it.
But what about when the other people talk about you, but you don't hear?
So it doesn't bother you?
So it's your own thinking.
And really, what others say or expect or think is their problem, but it's just all that is heard as sound, all that's seen as visible object, and it's just one's own thinking that creates the problems. So we think that it's others' comments or others' reactions that are making it difficult, but actually it's just the attachment, version, ignorance, and thinking on account of what is heard at that time. That's the real problem, the only real problem.
Do we understand the world so very little? Or do we understand a lot of the world?
We don't understand the world.
So, in order to understand it, there should be the clear comprehension of what a world is. Is this a world? Is this a world?
Yes.
Is this a world?
There's another world.
Is this a world?
One more world.
So, what is a world in reality, absolute reality? We just talk at the foundation that if there's nothing arise at all, nothing, is there a world? No. But if there is just one thing or a reality arises, that is a world. So everything can break up into just one thing. And whatever arises is a world at that very moment. So many worlds when many things arise, and we take the whole of it as a world.
So a world is one moment.
And this is the world in the Ariya Vinaya for the enlightened disciples. Understand the world. So just born alone, die alone, live alone, think alone, see alone, thinking alone. Wisely, but wisely. Who can condition your sorrow? The others, the world, or what? Or unpleasant feeling? Can anyone do that? So what condition? Sad moment? Or sadness and sorrow? It arises, and what conditions it to arise? If you don't know, then you have more. But if you know, you have less.
There is something all the time.
Conditions, attachment, aversion, ignorance.
But Ajahn, I still think I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I touch, and I think.
Mm-hmm.
All the time what appears now, yeah. I take for myself. Uh-huh.
And after hearing the teachings, what sees, you are a reality which can experience an object? Can the eye see? Why not?
Because I cannot experience anything.
It's a reality which cannot experience anything at all. No one. The eye base is the eye base. Can you make the eye see?
I cannot.
Can you make the reality which sees to arise? So where is the eye?
I cannot see my eye. I don't know where is my eye.
You call it my eye, but actually, what is I? Does it really belong to you? Can any hardness in your body belong to you? It's conditioned, it arises, it falls away. Nothing belongs to you. From head to toe. The body is the body. That which experience can experience, that's all.
And that was told in Anatalakana Sutta, Buddha told this.
About
the I is anicca, anatta, and dukkha. And it is not mine, not. The Buddha told it, but it's still so hard to get it.
But it can be understood. Can you touch the eye?
I can touch my eye.
You can? Is that the eye?
Well, then it's thinking.
The
concept.
Concept,
yeah.
You see, you cannot see your
eyes. Yes, I can see your eyes. They are quite nice. But it's thinking, isn't it? Okay. It can be seen, the eye sense?
It cannot be seen, not touched.
What can be touched?
Pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Only three rupas, three Mahabhut rupas can be touched.
So I was just going to go back to our conversation, being alone in the world, and the world being just the seeing and the hearing and the thinking. Because the last time I saw you, I think, was in Gangtan. And we can think conventionally of so many things that have happened since then, but also at that time, the world was just seeing and hearing and thinking. And now it's also just seeing and hearing and thinking. And so it goes back, but just different objects then and from now. But the same experiencing of realities through the that are seen and heard and then thinking about it. And that is the outside world. So in one sense nothing has changed.
Ajahn, what the point now is, I would like to know what it means, this Sankara Dhamma, the conditioned reality.
What appears now is conditioned, otherwise it cannot arise. So any conditioned reality is Sankara Dhamma. And they depend on one another, because there are citta and cittasikas arising together.
Because I'm asking that, because some people say it's Sankara, or this is Visankara, I mean Buddhists mostly, and they try to think, oh, this is conditioned, or this is empty, all phenomena are like this, and that misses the point.
If we don't use any term at all, can we understand the simple things like seeing, hearing, whether it can arise without conditions? Without the eye base, can there be seeing? Without visible object, can there be seeing? So we don't have to name it or call it Sankara Dhamma. But since anything which appear has arisen by conditions, so they are conditioned. Without conditioned, nothing arises.
But if we talk about there is now seeing and hearing, let's consider this as a reality, but there is still no any knowledge about the if this is conditioned. It appears, falls away, but there is no any knowledge or about this is there, what are the conditions?
Even we don't know the condition right now, but by knowing more and more about it, because the blind cannot see because they do not have the eye base, that's a reason to know how seeing can arise. Without the eye base, seeing cannot arise. We learn to understand seeing right now, that if there is no conditions for its arising, it cannot arise. But at this moment of seeing, it's not thinking about the conditions for seeing, but it learns to know that what sees before the understanding from hearing can condition the understanding of seeing right now. It is I, or it is I, no one else, at moment of seeing right now. I hear, as soon as hearing arises, without hearing about it, it's I all the time. So that is not right, because hearing is conditioned to arise and falls away. So where is I, which arises and falls away? Everything just arises by conditions and falls away all the time, from eons until now and in the future. There's no self, no I, but there are realities like seeing, hearing, thinking, everything which is real. Is your body hard?
It seems like there is some hardness in the body.
Touch it and see whether it's hard or soft.
I would say it's hard somehow, okay. And somehow it's soft.
But you say it does not depend on what you say. It depends on moment of experiencing it. Even you don't call it hard or soft, the experience, just experience that, not other level of hardness and softness. Is this hard touching? Is this your body, the hardness?
No, I know it's not.
And the hardness there, is it yours body, or your body, or yours? Or exactly the same, exactly, because hardness is hardness.
But there is also temperature on my body.
Don't think more than that, just hardness. We are talking about hardness, only hardness. Can hardness be other thing else from hardness? This hardness, does it belong to this, or you, or who, or just hardness?
Belongs to that.
Is hardness yours? No. It cannot be anyone. It does not belong to anyone. It's heart arising and falling away all the time. But when it's here, it's something. But when it's there, it's me, my body. But it's heart, only hardness. Like visible object. Does this visible object belong to anyone? It is seen. It is seen, only it can be seen, that's all.
If you ask me how much I pay for that, I say yes, that's mine. But in Dharma, meaning is not.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
Actually, who pays?
Yes. not I, not we, not you. That's the subject that usually human being in communication, we use that. And after hearing Dharma discussion, I realized that. And a little bit absorbing, but not I.
Mm-hmm.
Because it belong to me, or my body belong to me, I should control that. And we know that it rise and disappear, die and reborn on time. Because it impermanent, or anicca.
Anicca.
That's why we cannot control that. And because anicca, so it's dukkha. Dukkha, suffer. But actually not suffer, not dukkha, because of anitta.
Anicca.
So that's the, I realized that, but that's on talking, not really living with Dhamma living. So also I appreciate that on your teaching. Not your teaching.
Buddha's teaching.
Yes. And hopefully from now on to the next life and continuing for the next life. I don't know how many, but hopefully not much.
That is attachment. Another meaning of dukkha is not just the unpleasant feeling, bodily or mentally, but it means that which shouldn't be object of desire or attachment. That which arises and falls away, should it be object of attachment, clinging, desire, is gone. So there are three characteristics, anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, of all conditioned realities. But it looks like nicchang, permanent, and sukkhang, good to cling to, and atta, self, or something permanent. So one can see the difference between avicca and vicca. Right understanding, another word for panya.
Anicca.
Vijja.
Vijja.
Anicca. You know, avijja, avijja, ignorance, avijja. Without at. No, it's avijja, not ignorant.
Ignorant,
meaning moha. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's with moha, dosa,
loba. So, from now, when one is asked whether one knows the world, what's the answer? Do you know the world?
The most I can say is, I know what the world is.
What is it?
The world is.
What
the
is?
The world of the different worlds of seeing, hearing, and thinking. But as for knowing the world, that's another matter. The worlds are known by awareness and understanding.
I'd like to ask a little bit more about the second form of dukkha, which is pleasant feeling.
Viparinama dukkha. Right? It means the changing of pleasant feeling. Because when we talk about dukkha dukkha and viparinama dukkha and sankhara dukkha, we talk about feeling more than anything else. But it includes everything too, not only feeling.
Okay, so that second one,
viparinama dukkha.
Viparinama dukkha. It's not pleasant feeling. Going into unpleasant feeling, but you're saying it's pleasant feeling, and then we keep looking for more pleasant feeling.
Right.
It's the chasing after mm-hmm. pleasant feeling
yeah.
again and
yeah.
again.
Mm-hmm. If it's so pleasant, you do not have to change or look for other thing, and it's pleasant enough. But since that is not enough, so it's a kind of dukkha, looking for other things all the time. It's another kind of dukkha, looking for new pleasant objects. Otherwise, it will be like the third one, sankhara dukkha, or conditioned reality. It's not permanent, and that's another meaning of dukkha.
So that third one, because you just said that these dukkha, these three types of dukkha, is feeling. So what is the third kind?
Indifferent feeling. Even if it's not dukkha-dukkha, not the viparinama dukkha, it is dukkha, because even indifferent feeling is dukkha, arising and falling away.
There are five khandha. So yesterday one person asked me that why Buddha has to use khandha word. Why didn't Buddha just said only about rupa, vedana, sanya, cheta, or cetasika? Why Buddha have to use the khandha?
Includes all conditioned reality. Rupa khandha includes all kinds of rupa. Each one is dukkha. Each one is khandha. Just arise and falls away, then never come back. All khandhas, all conditioned reality. So rupa khandha includes all kinds of rupa. Vedana khandha includes all kinds of feeling. Sanya all kinds. And sankhara khandha all cetasikas, except the vedana and sanya. So there are 52 cetasikas, which are sankhara khandha, and vijnana khandha includes every citta. No more? Because nibbana is not khandha. and there are only four Paramattha Dhammas.
So the conditioned reality.
Getting back to living alone and living in a world of people and things and other people's expectations, because we, conventionally speaking, live in a society, and so obviously consideration for other people is an aspect. So could you just say something about, because it came up in earlier discussion, consideration for other people and their expectations of other people?
In the absolute sense, living alone again, even thinking of people and things.
But we think a lot of people and things, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be stopped, of course.
Mm-hmm. And it's thinking. With attachment or aversion, or kusala.
And if there's thinking with attachment or aversion, then there isn't anything that can be done about that, because attachment—that's what is in the way.
Arising and falling away. It sounds like, what's the use of being me when there are all realities? See, no one it is at all. But since the realities are different, the wholesome realities and the unwholesome realities, and it conditioned result too. Even it's not self.
And if, for example, expectations of other people make us feel uncomfortable or something, then that's a sure indication that it's thinking with aversion. So it's at this level.
I have another question. If Buddha teaching anatta, non-self, and no I, no we, so when in pinch of touching this or this, and this hardness or soft, so what kind of element to know that? Sitano or Panyano? Because no I, no we. So who know? I confused.
There is a reality which, when it arises, it experiences an object. Without that, this doesn't know this, that is touched by this.
Please, you repeat your question.
Can a glass see or touch anything and know the object which is touched as hardness or softness right now? So it's not the rupa, that which cannot experience anything. But there is another reality different from that which cannot experience. Because whenever it arises, it experiences an object right then, at that very moment, like hardness, touching. Touch. Not you who touch, right? But when softness appears, it means that there is a moment of experiencing that reality.
Okay.
which is soft or hard, not you. While when you are asleep, do you know who touches you? Citta experiences an object at a time. At that moment, it does not experience that which is touched. So the softness and hardness does not appear at that moment because there's no experiencing of it. Yeah, dukkha dukkha, viparinama dukkha, and sankhara dukkha. Could you begin, please?
Dukkha dukkha is painful feeling, bodily and mental.
Viparinama dukkha.
Viparinama dukkha is dukkha due to change. It refers to pleasant feeling. Because pleasant feeling falls away, there's dukkha. And sankhara dukkha is the dukkha that's inherent in all conditioned realities. It is the first noble truth. That everything that rises and falls away is dukkha. It's one of the three characteristics, along with anicca and anatta. Do you see the difference? And it's a reference to when, by way of feelings, the first is unpleasant feeling, the second is pleasant feeling, the third is neutral feeling.
Mutual example in daily life.
In daily life? The third one?
The second one.
That's obvious. Mm-hmm. Unpleasant bodily feeling or dosa. Yes. Unpleasant feeling.
First one.
That's the first one.
The second one
when what you like changes, falls away.
Oh, for example, right. When I sit in the same thing and I want to change the other position, God is too pain, so I want to change to the other position. So
oh, whether or not you change to another position, but because mm-hmm. it falls away and there's still the attachment to the pleasant feeling.
This is the book of something to do with posture. Right?
That's the second viparinama?
No, I don't think so.
No, that's what
she's saying. Dukkha.
She's saying the change. She was trying to give the example of changing posture as example of the second.
Looking for a pleasant feeling.
Viparinama. I said whether or not you look for, you change your posture, it's still dukkha of change. Is that not it? Or must you change your position?
Just one reality at a time. You think that the pleasant feeling is good, but actually it arises and falls away, and it's looking for other pleasant feeling non-stop.
Right.
So it's kind of dukkha.
So it's not just a question of changing posture.
That is bodily painful feeling.
It can be mental too. When dosa, when mm-hmm. when lobha arises, it's looking for another
right.
object.
And the third, I've heard that the
dukkha
when you eating, you like the food, and it's gone, and you want more, so you go back for more.
Right.
You're looking for the pleasant
right.
sensation,
that's
the pleasant feeling, not again and again and again.
How is that different to love?
Yeah, but it sounds like love.
How is it different?
Well, it's connected with Lopa possibly, but what we're specifically talking about, pleasant feeling, the falling away of pleasant feeling, and you want it again, so you go looking for more pleasant feeling. It's probably tied up with Lopa, but in this respect, we're talking about viparita
namaka
dukkha.